Welcome to Mission Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the Mission Impossible franchise, 1 minute at a time. I'm Chris.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Pete.
And I'm Doug.
Ray.
Scott.
Welcome, Doug. Ray.
Scott.
Welcome, Pete.
Thank you.
Back for 98.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, no problem.
Hey, how you doing?
This minute begins with an explosion. Explosion we tempted you with last episode, and ends with the transfer of money being complete. Oh God, this transfer of money is taking so much effort.
It's taking a lot of time. That's like ridiculous. If I had to wait that long for my Zelle or my PayPal, forget it.
But when,
I'm like, you're not sending it to me. You're a liar.
It goes immediately, though. It goes from 0 to 30 million, like nothing.
Yeah.
What the hell were they doing before this?
They were dialing.
Waiting
the
for ISDN line.
Son.
Somebody's on a fax machine somewhere.
Slowly raise up to 30 million. Oh, we've only got 15 million. No, we keep going.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I thought it was going to be like maybe they have like lots of different like slush fund accounts. They're like
it's coming from different areas.
Money from, and it's come from different places. So
exactly.
It's like, yeah, keep it going. Like now go to the third one and get the money. But instead, it's just one
keep
big
it
lump.
Good.
Is Tom Cruise's cousin monitoring it just by looking at that zero? Is he just staring at that zero, waiting until it turns to 30?
Don't tell Doug Ray. Doug Ray doesn't know.
Me?
Yeah, Doug Ray doesn't. Well, you don't know anything about money, but neither does this Doug Ray, Scott. Doesn't know anything about the money process on this thing either. So,
Actually, this is cool because the Tom Cruise's cousin could actually be siphoning that all off to his own account.
Exactly.
He could easily be doing that. Uh-huh, it's all there.
Pennies on a dollar.
Got it.
Got it all. And then he just leaves.
Yeah.
When he, it starts with the explosion. Let's start with the explosion of the grenade first. Mm-hmm. The grenade goes off. And both men who are obviously stunt doubles, it sucks. Because if you go back and forth in the scene, you can actually see that Stamp is played by some blonde dude. And right when that explosion happens, you're like, boo. I wanted everybody near it. The explosion happens, and you see Luther kind of like, oh, no, what has happened? He's like, Ethan, are you there, mm-hmm. Ethan?
My Ethan.
There's something that really bugs me about the explosion, though.
What is that?
Right at second, like, 3 and 4, that wall blows out as if the explosion came from the other side of the wall.
It does, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what, you know, if an explosion happened in that room, it wouldn't blow out. Word into that room.
That's a very good point.
I think you found the one flaw in this movie, Doug.
Oh, God. I knew it. That's why you brought me on, for the flaw.
Yeah. For the flaw. This episode is the flaw. The flaw. The flaw.
The flaw.
Look up here.
And Doug Ray is like, keep going. Is it done? Keep going. And the accountant looks at McCloy as if his willpower is what is moving this along.
Keep going. What about Billy's indifference?
Billy's like, look, mate, I'm just flying the helicopter. What just happened? I don't know what sounds sound like.
Luther,
was that an explosion?
Luther,
he doesn't even know.
Luther is horrified.
Yeah.
Luther's like, I know what that sounds like, a grenade. And Billy's like, wow, that was a loud sound, wasn't it?
Billy has no emotion on his face.
No.
Well, other than his stupefied Billy look, he's just like, you know, it's like, what was that? Billy's trying to divide 165 by 38. He's just like...
The whole movie.
Well, yeah. When he's not screaming at us.
Yeah.
He's doing the Joey Tribbiani.
Exactly.
This is the quietest I've been this whole movie.
The thought acting.
Wait, so is Luther hearing all this? Like, did he hear the dove?
Yeah, I guess through Ethan's headpiece, right?
Yeah.
He knows everything. He knows about the dove. He knows about.
That stupid dove. I swear to God, when I get out of here, I'm going to shoot every white dove I find. I'm going to murder that dove.
Does anybody else think Doug Ray is overacting?
No.
What? He acts like that suit wears. He is over the top about it.
This is why you guys brought me on, for this kind of revelation.
It is. It really is.
Overacting Doug Ray.
Hey, guys, I don't think Doug Ray Scott is a good actor. Thanks, Doug.
Thanks. That's what I'm here for. Cheers.
Got it.
You know who is a good actor, though? This accountant guy.
Oh, he's great.
I love this guy.
what? Do I continue? Do I continue with this transfer? He and Tom Cruise's cousin are in on the joke that they're not doing anything.
Yeah.
That the transfer has just been going on this whole time.
That's how I handle some of my editing jobs. Oh, yeah. No, I'm working. I'm working real hard. Okay. How many more hours? Oh, at least 20. At least 20 more hours. Sitting over here. Yep. It's processing. I'm like, whatever. Okay, 20 hours.
Chris, don't give away the Scotty way we deal with our jobs, exactly. Which is tell them twice as long and do it half the time.
I do like how he doesn't take his orders from Doug Ray. He takes his orders from McCloy. Yeah. He looks at McCloy.
I'm in the business of making money. He goes, or transferring that money.
You know, the guy with the gun tells him, keep it going. And then he looks at McCloy for the head nod.
But he doesn't get a head nod, though, does he? McCloy just looks scared, and then he goes ahead and does it anyway.
You know what I didn't think about, Chris? That could be Clem.
That could be.
I'm doing this as fast as I can, Mr. McCloy. It's being processed.
He doesn't get a nod. But you know what? What bugs me? Like, Brendan Gleeson? Brendan Gleeson is Hamish to me. He's the guy from Braveheart.
Yeah,
and this guy could snap Doug Ray in half if he wanted to. The Hamish that I know could snap Doug Ray in half, and he's like an emasculated boob.
Yeah,
in this movie,
it's weird seeing him play. It's weird seeing him play like this wimp.
Yeah,
you know,
when he's like a very
he's a big dude, right?
Yeah,
he's a big dude.
Yeah,
both in like both physically and girthy, and like he's
imposing.
He is. And it's almost like they're shooting him from really far back, so you don't see him next to these guys.
Yeah, because he seems really small in this movie, and I know he's not. I mean, if you watch like In Bruges, he's a big guy.
Yeah. So they have to have Tom Cruise standing like 8 feet in front of him, so they look the same size.
Well, they just put John C. McCloy on his knees.
This is not my Brendan Gleeson.
Not my Brendan Gleeson. Hashtag.
Hashtag not my Brendan Gleeson.
Right before that, we get comms from Stamp.
Mm-hmm.
And the comms are saying, what are they saying? Sean, this rat's reached the end of the maze.
Yeah.
Is that a secret code? Like, it seems did Tom Cruise have to torture Stamp to get that secret code? Because it sounds like a code.
No, I think that's Tom Cruise just doing.
Approximating Stamp.
That's Roxbury acting like he's Tom Cruise being Stamp.
Being Stamp, exactly.
Yeah, but is that. Like Pete's saying, is that code?
Yeah, did he have to say the right phrase so that he knows what's really going on?
No, it's just Robert Town. This movie is
What are you saying?
What's going on? It's full of a lot of put a sock in it, getting your gun off, gagging for it.
That's Oscar in line.
I want Robert to explain himself.
My dog wrote it.
I don't doubt that.
He got an Oscar nomination. He can write anything he wants. My dog.
I put 15 dogs in a room with a bottle of Jack Daniels.
I said, and Ethan Hunt is what I got. Australia, back. Go. I don't even write anymore. It's just the dogs.
Nicely done.
I love dogs. I wouldn't put this on the dogs.
I tried cats, but the cats just sit around play with typewriters. Not very good.
Hey, fun fact: all cats can write is porn. That's all they write. Dogs write drama
and action.
And action.
That's the monkeys. The monkeys write the action.
Monkeys action. Okay, break it up. Monkeys action. Dogs drama. Cats porn.
Putting together this movie.
Nice. Yep. This is this movie. This movie is the porn without the talking parts.
Could use the more
it's
the
just
porn
the
part.
Talking parts.
Well, that's all the cast can write is the talking parts.
Then he screwed this up royally.
That's why I didn't get him back for Mission Impossible 3.
Oh, that's why your dogs weren't asked back for Mission Impossible 3. He says, is he alive? He's like, more or less. Bring him to me. Ethan has been bested by Stamp.
Yeah.
He is.
But as we find out, you know, later in this minute, Luther's obviously listening in because he's like, okay, go, you know?
Yeah, he knows this is part of the plan. Yeah. This is Operation Takeover Stamp's Body, which is a... And you were saying before, Pete, you said in the last episode, you said, would he have gone after Stamp? And we cut off and, you know, we were talking about the mask. This is where we can start talking about it again. You're right. He would have gone for Stamp because the whole point of this plan was to get to Stamp to be Stamp.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yep.
Even if he hadn't shown up, he still would have had to go like attack him, maybe choke him, and then become Stamp and then come back in the room like, oh, we're still looking.
Right.
Can't find him.
Hey, Chris, with this camera work on Ambrose, why what's with the dizzying, nauseating, sweeping back and forth?
Like I think it's just a matter of them trying to approximate sort of the idea of confusion and maybe, you know, not knowing what's going on. And then at the same time, just, you know, trying to disorient Ambrose so that way he's not aware of what's going on. If that makes sense.
Also, we've been here for 2 weeks in this room.
There's only so much you can do in a room for 2 weeks. We got it this way. We got it this way. Let's start moving it around. Let's go all Michael Bay on it.
I don't know if it's because I'm drunk or not, but it's making me a little nauseous.
Yeah.
A little motion sickness that. Here.
Yeah.
Well, I was reading something the other day and I agreed with what I was reading. So we're talking about how film shot in 2000, between 2000 and 2010, primarily action films, things like the Bourne Identity films and stuff like that. Not the first one particularly, but like the other ones, how that, the shaky cam and a lot of the camera work doesn't hold up when you watch it nowadays because we're getting more used to these action films like John Wick where the action is laid out as an action piece and your camera.
Because it was a cheat.
Yeah,
it was a cheat too, so your actor didn't have to do the
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. And now you're watching Keanu Reeves, you know, kick some asses and other actors.
And Tom Cruise.
Yeah, Tom Cruise.
Like you want the shot, like you're like, keep it on him. Because we want people to know he's hanging from that.
Yeah, because as you noticed, we don't have any sort of shots like this, like that twirly shot there around Ambrose in anything past what's it called? Ghost Protocol. Yeah, Ghost Protocol. From Ghost Protocol on, we hardly have any sort of shots that are show-offy shots like that.
Yeah, I don't want to show my cards too early on Mission Impossible 3, but Jesus.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's like
this movement of camera and JJ Abrams is going to do a ton of it.
Yeah, and that's JJ Abrams basically saying, "Look at me, I'm a director, you know. I'm making films.
I'm a big boy now.
I can be like Steven Spielberg, you know." and that's a whole other thing that we'll get into in the third movie, but it's true. I mean, are you watching The Bourne Identity versus Supremacy now, they're like very different types of films that don't hold up nearly. You get bored real quick. I'm like, oh my God, stop cutting. I want to see what's going on. Mm-hmm. Especially after something like John Wick 3, where it's like you're going for 20 minutes on one sequence and you're just like, okay, I'm exhausted, but at least I know what's going on, you know?
And I know that they did it. It's almost like the craftsmanship. It's like, I appreciate your craftsmanship.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And even the Marvel movies do that. They have this camera that sits there and lets them play out. For the most part, which the first films didn't, but now they do. So, you know, they've evolved as well. So
that was also a thing in the Creed movies.
Yeah.
Is they really kept these long, like one of Creed's fights is a one shot.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
It's one shot. So you can stay in the action.
Well, I mean, also, you know, and this goes over to Pete, you know, the Indiana Jones films, you know, their action is just so classic. You can watch those today and be like,
yeah,
you know, it's just amazing. I watched the first three this past week. And
they're working on another one right now. Yeah. Chris, they're actually taping one that's like fan fiction.
Oh, gotcha. That'd be fun.
As long as there's no aliens in it.
No aliens. Interdimensional aliens. That's what it is.
Or like a kid he never heard about.
Exactly. But yeah, but I love that. Like you know, when they do in Last Crusade, they do the Belly of the Steel Beast sequence, and then in the first one you've got the desert chase on the truck. Mm-hmm. Those are so well shot that, you know, they hold up today when you watch them. Mm-hmm. But stuff like this, as much as I love John Woo stuff, his Asian films hold up really well, but his American films have a tendency to be, you know, a little too flashy in retrospect now, you know. So that's things like this that, I mean, I told Jonathan the other day, I was watching Payback, and he's going even crazier with this sort of stuff on that. You know, the camera's not still once.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No. The bridge between the old school action stuff and the stuff today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
It is. Well, this is, well, not this, but the Mission Impossible 3, what was that, 2006?
Mm-hmm.
That's the time. That's when we were deciding, I'm good. No. Don't stop doing this.
Yeah.
Because 2006 to 2010, you're right, Chris. Yeah. It's the past 8 years have been like a renaissance for action movies, because I mean, Doug, your guy is the king of action movies, and they're considered lesser movies.
Yeah.
And it's not fair because they're awesome.
Yeah, like, they really
action are. Movies are fun.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Especially
the- and now they're more fun, I think, because the people invested in them are doing the stunts, or at least to the point of ridiculousness, like Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
They're not physically doing it every time, but at least it's so ridiculous, you're so entertained. It,
yeah. And we by what's on Jonathan and I were having this conversation over on at the Mad Max Minute, where we were talking about that final chase, and it's just it's like that John Wick thing. It's overwhelming, and you're tired by it, but you know what's going on, and you see the actors, you know, within the scene. So it's
important. Also helps they're only moving in one direction.
Yeah.
They go one direction, then they say, no, let's go back. And they go back the other direction. You're like, I'm familiar with all this. Yeah. I understand how lines work. So exactly. I'm all good.
Well, we've talked about it plenty in this movie, that the access point is something that John Woo doesn't even acknowledge, you know, because he's jumping all over the access of the camera access. And you're like, who was I watching? Where was I watching? What's going on? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's hard to keep track of that when it's moving so fast and the edits are going maybe, you know, 35 seconds, 15 seconds, 10 seconds, 4 seconds, you know?
Yeah. I hear you, Doug. I feel like this can be a little nauseating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You mentioned the 80s, like Stallone, you know, the great action movies from the 80s. And that was like the heyday.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous in its own right, but man, was it entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, because it was still being shot by people who knew you had to make the shot be the shot, not we're going to use camera tricks to cheat.
Yeah. I mean, you look at anything that Jan de Bont shot in the 80s, especially with his work with McTiernan on like Hunt for Red October, you've got that tight space and he's making those scenes work and move. And then in Die Hard, same thing. And then, and then when he went on to direct Speed, you know, that's a bus. He's on a bus 90% of that movie.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And then Speed 2's awesome.
No, that's when it falls off. You know?
Wait, what? What just happened?
What just happened? Twister? Yeah. Fun.
Oh, Twister. God. I actually enjoyed that movie.
I did enjoy Twister. I remember we went to go see it at the North Park. Were you with us? I think you were with us when we went.
Probably.
To it. Yeah.
You enjoy it for what it is.
Exactly.
It's a popcorn movie and it's fun as hell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it sucks. Kariel's up into a Twister, so spoilers for Twister. It's pretty awesome. It's Twister pretty minute. Great. It's pretty great. Oh, Twister! No, there was a Twister minute. R.I.P. Twister minute. Oh, it's out there somewhere. I'm pretty sure
sucked into the Twister.
When you have a degree in meteorology, that movie was like, hey, finally somebody does this.
Finally.
And then you watch it and you go, no,
the recognition that we desire.
Pete, do you ever
call these other scientists? I can finally be sexy now.
Suck it, Indiana Jones. Here comes a real scientist. I'm a meteorologist. I'll show you.
Speaking of showing you, can you imagine an instance in life, I guess Doug might be able to, but where you would say, bring him to me in an unironic manner?
Doug says that right after he says, show me your hands.
Yeah.
Bring him to me.
Let's see. No. Nope.
And then this scene, and then they get to the transfer in progress, and after the really dizzying shot, and then we learn why Tom Cruise's cousin should never be in stuff. He stands up, it's like, Ambrose, transfer complete. And when he says this, I was like, this feels familiar. I figured it out. He is Will Forte playing MacGruber at that moment. Because his exact cadence is like, Ambrose, transfer complete. It's like so Will Forte. Because I was like, why does this feel familiar? Not good.
What does Clem do before that, though? He like has a heart attack.
Clem's willing it. Clem has to, if I don't, my mind powers, by the way, I'm a scanner and I have The Shining and I'm able to use my mental powers to move money through bank accounts, in case you didn't know. FYI. So it's taxing on Clem. Clem has to actually force the money with his mind through the internets.
He really.
Through Microsoft Internet Explorer is not the easiest thing to get money through.
He clems
up. In case you were wondering.
He did, though, because he completely collapses afterwards. He's done.
He's done.
It's basically two bit actors just eating the scene up. I'm sure after they, this is probably shot by second unit, they're just like, oh my God, it's freaking terrible. I guess we got to put it in the movie.
What is this? What is this? When the guy in the back isn't focused, and then all of a sudden you focus on the guy in the front.
The rack focus.
It's rack focus. Yeah. There are three focal points, and the guy, literally there's a guy sitting on the camera who has places on the focus knob, and he is turning it to different places. He's got guy in focus on the accountant. Then they go to the other guy, and he's out of focus just for long enough. And then they put Tom Cruise's cousin into focus, and then he hits a third mark on his focusing and focuses to the foreground.
Yeah.
Say focus again.
It's so nice, though. Say focus one more time. I swear to God. Focus, focus, focus.
Yeah, it is a good shot.
And we actually see at the beginning, we didn't really talk about this, when the explosion happened, remember from last episode, and the wall was blown out from the side? It takes out people in that room.
Yeah.
Or outside that room right there, like right, I think that's where the rest of the Ambrose were.
Yeah.
Or maybe those two guys that were sent off by
the ones that went earlier in the movie. Across the wall.
And also, before the rack focus, it looks like Tom Cruise's cousin's wig is a little out of place. It's like
his wig. No, that's a real haircut.
That's his real hair. Unfortunately,
it looks like it's not connected to his head.
That's why it feels like I'm going to put up a picture in the IMF when this episode airs of Will Forte as MacGruber standing next to this guy. It looks exactly the same.
Yeah,
because he's doing it for jokes, and this guy went to the stylist in the movie. He was like, That's
my haircut. It's the late
90s.
I want my head
to look like a penis.
Yeah. He goes,
give me some streaks or something, some highlights.
Yeah.
Do you know who I am? I'm Tom Cruise's cousin.
He goes, just
give me the haircut that I deserve. I'm like, all right, dickhead. You're getting it.
You're getting it, man.
And this minute ends with a smoky hallway and a knowing glance from Ambrose. So we're hoping something fun's going to come through that door. We don't know. What could it be? This is probably a good time to go into Tech of the Ep. What I'm going to do is I'm going to try and will us there with the power of my mind. Mm-hmm. So let me go up front of it!
Do you need some toilet paper?
Oh my God, my nose is bleeding.
Yeah, don't try too hard.
Okay. Oh,
yeah.
I think I hurt myself.
You popped,
I think I popped the blood vessel in my eye.
God damn it.
I don't feel like I'm there yet either.
Oh, goddamn. Okay.
Actually, you know what? I'm there. Whether I'm there or not, I don't want to hear you make that sound again. So I am there.
I just walked there because it was easier.
Oh.
Pizza and limbo didn't take somewhere.
I'm going to go first because I always make other people go first, and that's not cool. So I'm going to go first. I'd say the tech of the ep in this is the fact that the screen goes from transfer in progress to transfer complete. And that's a shot in a movie
quickly
that they show to us as humans. It's literally the screenshot of transfer progress, and then the next second is transfer complete. And I'm like, and the transfer complete, it still says $0, and the $0 goes bloop, 30 million.
That's like done. I said, I should have gone like...
I wanted the tote board, Muppets movie, the Muppets Return, whatever, first one.
Yeah.
I like when you did that, though. It sounded like the dove doing it.
Oh, here comes the money.
Oh, not the
wings.
That's
the helicopter that comes after it. Luther's going to kill himself some doves. Luther hates snitches, so.
Yeah. Snitches get the helicopter blade.
Snitches get stitches, Luther.
You're gonna get stitches, Billy.
You're gonna get stitches.
What about you, Chris?
Oh, let's see.
I don't know, Deborah.
I'm gonna go with the camera dolly technique of the app that's going crazy on Ambrose. It's just going. It literally is just going back and forth, back and forth.
There's actually a couple of really strong camera moves in this in this minute. So that's a good one. Yeah. The dolly. You're going with the disorienting dolly.
Disorienting dolly because it's like, oh my God, stop moving back and forth. What are you doing? Did you let 1990s Kenneth Branagh direct this scene? Come on.
Yeah, that's a good
and
one.
And Doug's gonna go next because I know what his is.
Well, the rack focus.
Yes. Oh, yeah, triple. Three racks.
Three
focuses.
Like,
that's
three racks?
That's
Bungus.
How do you say it?
That's a nice move. I was going to pick it, but I knew Doug was going to pick it, so it's just a lot easier to let Doug pick it. He brought it up.
You go from that weird penis haircut to Ambrose's greasy eyes.
I like that you called them greasy. We called them wet, but I like that you're calling them greasy eyes.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, that's greasy even eyes. Better. That's even a better explanation.
Vaseline eyes. Eyes.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Pete, what about you?
I'm going to go with these cutting edge LED blue lights they've got on the ceiling. These are lovely.
We talked about them. They're like ambience. Yeah. They added earlier. Yeah. Like, they're nice.
Ambience.
Flying version. Because
literally,
America.
We think they literally brought in a team and like, I don't know, light this thing till it looks interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, let's put blue
There's
lights
too
in the
much
background.
Gray in good, here. Right?
But yeah, if you, you put like, those blue lights in a room and you have Doug read you like a bedtime story, you're going to sleep like you've never slept before.
Like a baby. So,
yeah.
Is Doug there? Is he rubbing my back while he's doing it?
Of course.
Oh, that sounds so nice.
Read an entry off of IMFDB. Your choice. Pick a gun.
What is IMFDB?
The firearms database.
Oh.
The one you called me out on reading for the grenade.
Oh, I gotcha. It's really IMF?
IMFDB.
And I didn't notice it? Oh, who noticed? Impossible Minute Force database.
Nope. Internet Movie Firearms Database.
Yeah, I know. I've been there many times.
No, you haven't.
This movie is the first movie that has like guns in it, so yeah.
Ah, so you're a noob.
Yeah, well, the last movie had one gun. He points at Claire for 2 seconds. There's no other guns in the movie. This is the first time we've had like prolific number of guns.
I'm talking like there's a lot of guns in Rocky or something.
Hey, do you... or in Indiana Jones, it's just all Lugers.
Yeah.
That's right.
And whatever, what is Indiana Jones, a six-shooter? What is that?
Wait, I got to go to IMFDB.
What? You don't know it off the top of your head?
I don't know anything at all.
You guys have gone downhill.
Yeah, we went downhill a long time ago.
The greatest thing about the searches for Indiana Jones is the car database.
There's
a lot of vehicle stuff. Are we waiting on Pete for something?
Are we waiting on
no,
him?
No, it's going to be
I can't
a
tell because he didn't have his picture up, Herbert. I can't tell what you're doing. Are we not waiting?
I have no idea. And I'm not fast enough on the draw to get IMFDB on their bookmarks.
All right. Well, hopefully before tomorrow, Pete will have enough time to look up what firearm Indiana Jones uses. It's a six shooter. So I'm sure we'll find out. Probably a Colt or something. Who knows? So until tomorrow, Doug and Pete will both come back for minute 99. And we're so close to 100. We're so close. We're going to get there this week. And we'll find out what's going on with Stamp and Ambrose and Ethan. Hopefully Ethan's okay. He seems like the rat's not moving very well, so we'll find out tomorrow on tomorrow's episode.
That's Indiana Jones' gun is a Smith & Wesson M1917.
Thank
you. There you go. I was just about to say that.
Thanks, Pete.
Shut up. Shut up, Pete.
Pete, that was a great research job.
Thank you.
It's always easy to research something when you say I was just about to say that.
Nice job. I don't know the names of any guns. All I remember is that when Sean Connery gets shot in Last Crusade, it's with James Bond's gun.
Walter.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
I never thought about that. You're right. That's awesome.
Great job, Pete.
Oh, great job, Pete. Again.
You've exhausted my gun knowledge, so hopefully we don't have any guns in these scenes.
We're still in positivity minute, though. So,
all right. So until tomorrow, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I've been Pete.
And I've been Doug. Ray.
This minute will self-destruct in 3, 2,
another counter.
1. See?